Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, if you can't listen live, know that all of our shows can be found at answers.network. And if you really appreciate this show, and I want you to know that you can all do me a big favor, please forward it to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, our question today is how and why synchronicity and serendipity happen. Now, providing answers through a complete catalog of coincidence patterns with numerous illustrative examples, our guest's new book, King for Coincidences, clarifies the relationship between synchronicity and serendipity and dissects the anatomy of a coincidence. Joining us is Bernard Beitman, MD, the first psychiatrist since Carl Jung to systematize the study of coincidences. He's a graduate of Yale Medical School, and he did his psychiatric residency at Stanford University. He's a former chair of psychiatry at the University of Missouri Columbia Medical School and writes a blog for Psychology Today on what else? Coincidence, as well as being the founder of the Coincidence Project. Dr. Beitman, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you, my brother, Alan, who spells his name just the same way as you do.
All right. Well, then he knows how to do it correctly. So as I led in with what our lead question would be, so as I mentioned, why does synchronicity and serendipity happen?
Well, you're talking about the title of my book, Meaningful Coincidences.
Absolutely.
And that question is in the subtitle, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen. In order to answer that question, I've got to define what I mean by meaningful coincidence, because synchronicity and serendipity are each an aspect of a meaningful coincidence. Mm-hmm. So a coincidence first is the coming together of two apparently unrelated events in an unexplained but a surprising way that seems to have potential for something. And a meaningful coincidence is one that seems to have meaning to the person involved. Okay. And meaning to a person involved is two things. It's, what does it mean to me?
Right.
And what does it mean for how reality works? Because coincidences are clues, have been for much of humankind's existence, for how reality works. Because it's two things that come together, like lightning and thunder, and they happen a lot around the same time, but they seem to be related. So people made up some God stories, various gods throwing thunderbolts and stuff, until science was able to see the air of the lightning got heated up really fast, and that caused the air to create a sound that we now know as thunder. Mm-hmm. And that's true of coincidences, not all of them. Some of them are blind alleys. Some of them are just interesting. But some of them really tell us how reality works. And that's a big interest of mine. So it's personal as well as for science, really.
Well, you illustrate some great examples in your book. Share an example. So for somebody out there that is saying to themselves, you know, I scratch my head a lot because I think that this is what's happening, but I just don't know. How are they going to know, or what is a good example for them to go, yes, that's what's happening to me?
Well, putting the label on, Alan, is really important, and I'm glad mm-hmm. you emphasized that, because weird stuff happens, and that's why I developed the Weird Coincidence Survey, that's what it's called, to be able to demonstrate what I kind of thought was that these things happen a lot, but they're kind of like, as you say, what's going on here? And so the four most common coincidences that we came up with in this survey are being in the right place at the right time for a job or education that happened to you. Thinking of someone you hadn't thought of for a while and they contact you, email, text, phone. Thinking of an idea and then it shows up in a book or in the media someplace. Mm-hmm. Or one of my favorites is having a question. I had a question as I was trying to figure out a brain basis for how coincidences might work. And so I go, oh, what am I doing? So like, I went to the front page of the New York Times, and there was an explanation about the CA3 area related to the hippocampus in the brain that is a partial explanation for how some meaningful coincidences take place. And this happens to a lot of people. What these four are quite common. But to illustrate one that I think will illustrate the basics of a coincidence, the kind of anatomy of a coincidence that you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. what is a meaningful coincidence, involves my father and me. It was 1973 in a Victorian house a little north of you in San Francisco, and it was across from Alamo Park with all those beautiful Victorian, old Victorian houses. It was a great place to hang around. But it was the kitchen, and it was 11 p.m., and I hadn't eaten anything. I hadn't eaten anything, but I was choking uncontrollably. I couldn't get something out of my throat, but there wasn't anything in there. As you can tell, it still gets me. I didn't know what was going on. And then finally it stopped. I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't know. It seemed like a long time. It was scary. The next day, February 27th, 1973, my brother called and said that our father had died at 2 p.m. Wilmington, Delaware time. And Wilmington, Delaware is 3,000 miles away, and 2 a.m. in Wilmington was 11 p.m. in San Francisco. So it was the same time. My father died at 2 a.m., 11 p.m. San Francisco time. So my father and I were going through something at the same time, and what he was going through was bleeding into his throat. He was bleeding into his throat. And he died choking on his own blood. So that kind of got my attention. So one of the definitions of a weird coincidence is surprising, unexpected, hard to explain, low probability, weird, but somehow meaningful because it was my father and me.
Of course.
So I wondered about that. And the weird coincidence survey demonstrated that this is not an uncommon phenomenon. People experience the distress of a loved one at a distance. So that's telepathy is the old name for that.
Right.
So it began to be a step towards trying to understand another common human experience. But for me, that was understanding the reality part of it. And I'm still working on that. But the meaningfulness of it was that it happened with my father and me, that I didn't know we were this close to each other as this suggested, and we are still close, and we are still feeling each other even though he has passed away. Mm-hmm. He isn't away. Because February 27th, the day he died in Wilmington, Delaware, is my birthday. Mm-hmm. My father died on my birthday. Mm-hmm. That made this even more meaningful. So I commemorate him by telling this story and using to illustrate the various elements of a meaningful coincidence.
Wow. One of the thoughts that comes to mind with that is in a situation like that one, or the one that many of us hear about a lot is you start thinking about somebody and then your phone rings and they call you. It takes two people in this situation, or does it take two people? Is one of them, so in this situation, was that you feeling him, or was that him, again, like telepathically or whatever, sending something to you? Do you have any study on that to see why that happens with some people, some two people and not others?
Yeah. so much of it is this thing called love. Mm. So much of it is the strength of the relationship between the two people. Other research other than mine showed that the most common one is between a parent and a child. And the second most common one is with close friends. It's the feeling between you. A lot of people have tried to use a quantum entanglement as a way to think about that. Mm-hmm. Quantum entanglement involves two small particles, photon or electron, that mm-hmm. are entangled. And people don't realize how hard it is to entangle two electrons. I mean, you got to do some fancy work to get those things paired up so they're doing the opposite of each other. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. easy. Entanglement explains all these things. No, it doesn't. It's a good metaphor. It's a step in the right direction. But the entanglement of two people is with love. It's with caring with each other. It's being in each other's lives deeply. That's not the same way electrons get entangled.
Hmm. Another question that I've had, not only myself, but other people have asked, some people will use the term serendipity. Other people will use the term synchronicity. How do they differ from each other?
Well, I have a lot of problems with that because the people I hang around with love to call everything synchronicity and ignore serendipity. And I include serendipity because it's real and it's an example. A serendipity is being in the right place at the right time thing. Mm-hmm. When you show up in an accidental way, it's a happy accident. You show up here and there, and that's and it comes together. Sitting next to somebody on an airplane, that's a form of serendipity. It's a happy accident. Finding an idea you need, a happy accident. But there's an overlap between the two. Synchronicity tends to be, following Jung, who came up with the word synchronicity, tends to be about spiritual, psychological, and interpersonal events. And serendipity tends to be about ideas and things, finding ideas and things in an unexpected way.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Now, which would it be in a situation to where one person who goes to a particular gym and has for 40 years or so, all of a sudden somebody says, I'm going to pay $2,000 for you to go to this other high-end gym that I know you would never pay for yourself if you'll just work out with me a couple times a week and stuff. And then in doing so, the person goes to that gym and meets the love of their life.
That illustrates how there are multiple forces that are involved with what we do. So create these things. A lot of people like to say it's the universe doing it. Mm-hmm. Other people call it God. And there's a lot of mystery in this, and I love the mystery. Some people are international detectives who like to figure out mysteries that other people can't figure out. I'm kind of like Sherlock Holmes with this, taking these clues. You understand what I'm talking about. There are clues, and you got to know which clues to pay attention to so you can follow the yellow brick road and find Oz. So in this instance, which sounds like something maybe you have had a little experience with, I'm just guessing. What do I know? The various elements is, first, why this person came up to you. Because without that, it wouldn't have happened. So the first element was this person seeing something about wanting to be with you. So he picked up something about your energy. I call that reading your energy field, which has energy and information in it. And if you, I like to dance, and it happens outside of dance, but people are picking up energy from each other at this kind of dance I go to keeps amazing me about the sensitivity we have to each other's energy fields. And then some people will say, well, there are no such things as energy fields. Okay, for you there aren't, but there are for other people. So this person read your energy field, or as people might have called them before, and knew something about you that was resonating with him or her, whoever came up with you. So there was something this person picked up that was compatible with him. So the working out with you was a way of being with you, not just working out with you. So he probably had a good deal of money, or she, and then could be able to do such a thing, but he could pick you out. And you would ask him to donate to the Coincidence Project whenever you see him again.
Yeah.
We could use the cash as we get this idea out. That's the beginning of it. It wouldn't have happened without his intuition, we can call it, but intuition is a lot of things, a lot of information coming into us, a lot of information coming into us. How do you pick which one? Again, that's detective work. How do you know which one of these things coming into your consciousness you should pay attention to? You've had to become good at that. He was good enough at that to be able to pick you for himself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then there was you. And there's a lot of, God, universe stuff that I've mentioned, but your intuition, which you have developed being a detective, you had to. Because you had to know things without knowing how you knew them. You had to sharpen your ability to recognize something that was useful to you. So, yeah, you like the 2000, but and the gym, those are all things that your intuition would say. But then there might have been a precognitive capacity in you, which we have to be able to recognize, that somehow that triggered your ability to see the future without knowing that you were doing that. And so when you went to the new gym, you saw your future. She was there.
And then
to add to it, the both of you knew to do something right there. I mean, you could have not talked to each other. What made you start talking with that person?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There was so many different things. And the more that it looked into it, the more that there was, it took a lot of different coincidences or synchronicities, whatever, to make that happen. So, yes.
That's the trouble with this business is it's a new science. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of different names. The thing with my father, I call simulpathy. It used to be telepathy. Some people call it telesomatic. There's other names to that. I've broken that down in my book to try to get away from those things and to try to say any meaningful coincidence is made up of only two things.
Yeah.
Mental events and environmental events, things happening out there. And when a mental event matches an environmental event, that's a coincidence. You're looking for somebody to love. You see somebody you're going to love. Mental, emotional, spiritual, inside of you, matched somehow outside of you. Those are the two basic parts of meaningful coincidences.
Well, you just used the term simulpathy. So first I want to tell our listeners, and this is a term that you invented or created, if I'm not.
You're right.
Okay. Why did you create it, and what specifically does it mean? In other words, was this something that you came up with because it just seemed to fit? Sounds like it just seemed to fit better than some of the other meanings that people are trying to put together.
It's a more specific subset of meaningful coincidences. People don't usually think of this one. Because I'm a therapist, I'm very interested in interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. So this is all interpersonal. Simulpathy, feeling the distress of a loved one at a distance based on love, connection, intensity of connection between each other. That's interpersonal. And part of what I'm trying to do with using the word synchronicity is be able to show how meaningful coincidences demonstrate our interconnectedness with each other. And so I came up with a word that demonstrates our interconnectedness with each other and only that.
I love it. Now, I know people who think that their synchronicities or their serendipities are always positive, they're always beneficial, and they're always helpful. You know, so and I love these people. You know, I have no problem with it at all. But you know, they focus on that, and then, and partially because of my business, I've met other people who seem to only recognize the negatives of them. So something bad will happen, and then they'll explain why that happened, and it was somehow a synchronicity. And they seem to only go, you know, it's all my life happens, and this is so bad, but this is why. What are some things that people can do to see both sides, both positive and negative of these areas, and maybe hone them in a little bit better?
You kind of know the answer to the question. And again, I respect your, and I'm listening to you, your detective capacity, because you've just described indirectly how you do that. You see a good clue and you see a not so good clue, and then you test it out to see which one seems to be right and which one isn't. And you use your intuition to make those decisions. So you have to practice. You have to practice the good ones from the bad ones. But I think it's very important, or generally, to recognize that not all meaningful coincidences are wonderful, happy, 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 joy, joy. I hope you remember that, where that came from. no, maybe not. It's not. They're not all wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're bad, some of them. They're like, what? How did that happen? As an illustration, Elizabeth Targ was a wonderful psychiatrist researcher in San Francisco, who was studying prayer at a distance. Mm-hmm. And she was able to show that you could get a good results with people with AIDS that it was surprising, mm-hmm. But with prayer at a distance. So she got an NIH grant to be able to study glioblastoma because of her other successful research. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to do the same thing with people with glioblastoma. Glioblastoma is a rapidly spreading brain cancer that is pretty hard to treat. You got to catch it early, and even then, it may be too fast. So she started the research with glioblastoma and healing. And as the research began, she was diagnosed with a glioblastoma.
Oh. You know, that, and that sort of hits home a little bit in the sense that, I have a variety of friends in the investigative world, in law enforcement, and I have seen some that have been so focused on what they were doing and getting so wrapped up in the negativity or the ugliness of what it was that they were doing, that it affected them so severely that they either took their own life, or they, it brought them down so much that it changed them. So when you say that's the thought that comes to mind for me. I guess if you study that long enough and somehow, let me ask you then.
No, I think you're talking about something really important there.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking that with what you just said, you know, in other words, which came first? So did she already have it, and there was some sort of a synchronicity that caused her to go into that area, or did going into that area and gaining so much knowledge in it send a message to her body that she got it? That's kind of which came first.
So important to recognize, people get messages from their bodies that the doctors can't pick up. But the stories of people saying, you got to look at my ovaries, I know there's something wrong there. Oh, mm-hmm. No, we looked. But a very careful look showed, yes, there was a little something that was going to be pretty problematic. So people can do that. She may have picked up body talk that told her. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. She may have been precognitive without knowing it. She may have been able to predict that about herself, when the two are hard to separate. So that kind of coincidence makes us wonder about how that happens.
Yes.
And that's what you're bringing up. And that's why we have to study them all in a neutral way, because some of the negative ones are highly illustrative of things we need to know.
Right. Couldn't agree more. Now we have a listener question that is coming in. Again, I want to take this time to thank everybody that takes their time to send in a question either before a show or during a show so that they can, in some cases, listen later and get the answer. This one reads, I'm such a believer in synchronicity and that we manifest much of our experience, and in parentheses, the good and bad, through our thoughts and attitudes. I see the events of our life as small loops in a long rope, each having its own effect on our destiny. Now at 65 years old, I look back and I can see that by allowing synchronicity to guide me, one event led to another, moving me to exactly where I am now. My greatest desire was to be surrounded by the love of my family and friends, as my mother and grandmother were when they were my age. And that is what my life is like. I can't wait to get your book, as it is hard for me to translate my philosophy of life to others. So maybe your book will be the perfect gift for me to give those who feel lost in the chaos and drama of life. This is from Gina in Arizona.
Hey, Gina, put that into music, please. That's beautiful. I asked Gina to email me through my website, coincider.com, coincider.com. And a coincider is someone who is experiencing coincidences. And you're a coincider, a high frequency coincider. Mm-hmm. And you email me there, and I will send an invitation to you and anybody else who wants to the Coincidence Cafe. The Coincidence Cafe is a Zoom meeting on Saturday, a third Saturday of every month from 11 to 12:30 Eastern time, not exactly Arizona time, but you might want to come. And we tell each other coincidence stories. This is a forum for people like you who feel weirded out by your experiences and want to have other people to be able to talk with about your experiences. And it's the thing is going and going and going. We have a big rollout of our website February 18th. So it's gaining some momentum, and it's fun to be part of it. I started it. I'm the founder of it. I'm the president of it. And I'm so glad to watch other people on the board kind of taking over and watching this thing go out, because it's a web that we're trying to create. So I hope you join us.
Yes, I hope so too. And it's really nice of you. I appreciate you giving that information for people that are listening or watching and want to join in. We're going to take a break, but for everybody out there, we are talking with Dr. Bernard Beitman, and the book is King for Coincidences.
Meaningful coincidences.
And if you go to his website, and I believe you have other information on there as well.
About the book, yeah.
Yeah. There's more stuff about the book. And you mentioned that you also have you have your own podcast. What's the name of the podcast for those that want to get more information?
Connecting with Coincidence.
Connecting with Coincidence. So stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We are talking with Dr. Beitman, and we're talking about his new book, Knowing Coincidences.
Meaningful Coincidences.
Meaningful Coincidences.
Knowing Coincidences was the original title, so thank you about that.
Oh, wow. So some of my lead information was very interesting.
The book cover's back there, just in case you need a hint.
All right. So for those that have the ability, you can zoom in on it right now. With that in mind, let's talk about the book and how it differs from other books on synchronicity.
Okay. I'm reading a book by Thomas Pynchon. This is a side note about a hard-boiled L.A. detective. So I'm in the middle of it. So this is pretty funny for me. And this is one of the – this is an example.
A coincidence.
This happens to me with some regularity. So it's funny. It's a great book for me anyway. What was your question? I just wanted to be able to say that.
Well, I'm just saying because it made you think about the book that you're reading. But, you know, for those people that have had interest in this, let's talk about how your book differs from other books that they might have seen or read on synchronicity.
Oh, good. It differs a lot because I include serendipity. I mean, most of the synchronicity books do not include serendipity. It's a kind of a more spiritual and interpersonal, but the serendipity thing is really real. Science has preceded a lot by accidents, happy accidents. One of the prototype examples is for serendipity is about a medical research group in England who were studying a new drug for hypertension and for sort of cardiac arrhythmias, I think. And it was all men that they were doing this with. And they got to the end of the study and they said, okay, guys, we got to take your pill away. We're finished. And the guy said, no, we want to keep taking this stuff. And they said, why? It became what we now know as Viagra.
That was a
happy accident for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And women too. Some people might want to call it synchronicity, but it's a happy accident. You weren't looking for it at all, but there it was. And you knew it was something that could be a big seller, of course. It became with a big seller with its copycat. So serendipity is an important part of the craziness of this world. It isn't so crazy. There's ways of understanding how this stuff works. So including serendipity is important, including simulpathity as a thing that stands out, and including a third, often undiscussed, meaningful coincidence called seriality. Seriality was an idea came up that a Viennese botanist came up with and wrote a book in 1909 of the Law of Series. And these are not mind environment things.
Yeah.
These are environment things. So just like I could show you the book that this hard-boiled detective who's also an old hippie and your degree or your license, we could see that those two are obviously something somebody could recognize. But I did more than that. If you think of the four different kinds of meaningful coincidences that I'm talking about, there's synchronicity, serendipity, seriality, and simulpathity. You may notice that they each begin with an S and each end with an ITY. That also is a form of seriality. Anyone could see the S and the ITY. It's not a mental event. It's something anybody could see. And seriality helped Jung understand his ideas about synchronicity. So those are four. A lot of books tend to not pay attention to the other three who are about synchronicity. There's some that are just about serendipity that don't get as much attention. So in those ways, this way that I break meaningful coincidences down to mind and environment, That way you only get three different kinds of coincidences: mind, environment, or thinking of somebody and then they call you, mind, or emotion, my father and me, and seriality, these four different, or the our detective correlation here, where anybody could see that these are part of meaningful coincidences.
Well, as we're talking about the book, I just want to share something for those that are listening. Another thing that I like is the fact that there's illustrative examples. And maybe it's because I'm very, very visual. You know, the illustrated examples, I think, add so much to where, you know, I can read for a period of time, but then I get an example to where I go, oh, yeah, that's it. And so I think that's just another thing that when we're talking about what sets your book apart, I think that's another thing that I certainly enjoyed.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Because what I've tried to do is reach a balance between kind of scientific modeling, not exactly theorizing, because this mind object thing, where seriality is object, and telepathy is mind, is really very basic. And each one of those I illustrate with a lot of case examples in the book about mind, telepathic, mind, environment, and seriality as well, which most books don't have in it. And you brought it up earlier, Alan, is sometimes this ain't so good, these coincidences. Sometimes they smash you in the face, and it takes a little bit of time to like try to see if it was something you can make good. And it's important to try to see what good can come out of them. And another variable is sometimes it's good for you, but ain't good for me. And sometimes it's good for me later and not so good for you later. So time is a variable in how you judge how good they are.
And where does fear fit in this? I know that there's some connections to, there's a fear that makes you recognize something and see it pretty much before anybody else would and make a different decision. Where does that fit into this equation?
You mean like 9/11? Or you mean something else?
That's certainly a great example.
Well, a lot of people dreamt about planes hitting buildings for 9/11, and the Titanic also. A lot of people didn't go on the Titanic because they had some fears about it. And people make up stories about, they had there's other reasons they don't do it, but they'll tell you, something bothered me about taking that trip, and I decided not to be able to do it, or somebody else told me not to go with them. So you got to pay attention to what might be going on with you inside to tell you what might be the right thing for you to do.
Yeah, exactly. So we have another question that has come in, and this one reads, I'm very curious about something that has been happening to me. I've been seeing special numbers on the clock almost daily, such as I'll glance at the clock at 11:11 or at 3:33 or at 5:55. I also think of someone, and the next call I receive, it'll be from that person. I don't exactly understand the meaning of all of this, but it makes me feel amazing sometimes. Can you tell me what you think is happening? Are the numbers and these little events trying to tell me something? What do you recommend as next step, as I feel I'm being pulled to start doing more to expand myself in this area? And this is from Aaron in Nevada.
Aaron, take it as a clue to expand yourself more in this area. I hope you look at my book or books like it, because it will expand you. And again, coming to the Coincidence Cafe, where we offer serendipity or synchronicity in the Coincidence Cafe and talking about those things, I hope you follow up on them. The numbers one I get a lot. And I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt you, Alan, but 1111 is very popular. A lot of people ask me about 11-11 and then the 5-5-5-6. They happen to a lot of people. The simple thing to do with that is take it as confirmation that you're probably on the right path, which is the most common use of coincidences. And numbers are all over the place in our lives, all over the place. So, and the clock is probably the most common place that we see numbers. So it, you're gonna see something in those. And what makes you look, sometimes I think it's telepathic that you can pick up that the clock is going to be 11, and then you want it to be 11-11, so that makes you feel like you're confirmed in the right in what you're doing. But that's okay, because we are looking for confirmation, and that's one way that some people get it. And for the for thinking of someone, we talked about that earlier, Alan. That's helping you recognize that you and the other person have some telepathic communication going on. We have the ability. We have the ability. Science is telling you, you don't. I'm telling, among many others, that we do. And that's the best example.
What would be some ways, and not only for Aaron, but for anyone else out there feeling like they, you know, that they may have, they may be more empathic. They may have some abilities. What are some ways in which people can hone those skills?
They have to believe that it's okay to have the skill.
Okay.
Empaths sometimes have a lot of trouble because they pick up too much from other people. Mm-hmm. There are some people who pick up too much precognitively from other people. They know when something bad is going to happen, but they can't do anything about it. That's not what you're talking about, but I want to mention that as part of a problem for a minority of people. Mm-hmm. But if you want to increase your ability to have meaningful coincidences, it starts with somehow believing that they are out there and that they can be useful for you. And you have to then believe that you have a capacity that most of us have, like telepathy, but you've been told not to believe it. Some people are told that God does not like you to have that ability. It's part of the devil's work. Well, if that's what you believe, then this is not something that you'll want to do. But if you can, if that's not something that inhibits you, then you can begin to talk with the person who called you or contact you, say, what were you thinking when you called? Because Alan, you earlier said there's two people involved. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, well, this is all about me and my coincidence and my life. And no, there's another person involved.
Yep.
So you have to like, what did this mean to you? How did it happen for you that you called me then? And they may tell you, I just had this feeling to call you.
Right.
And then, and you have to ask yourself, how much energy did you push into thinking about that other person calling you? I was doing that with my daughter-in-law because she hasn't sent me any grandchildren pictures for a while. And I said, Liza, like that. I said, you know, a couple hours later, I got a photograph of one of my granddaughters grumpy in a shopping cart. And a look I haven't seen from her before. So we can communicate with people through what I call the psychosphere, and we can get into that. But that there is a way of understanding this mental internet that our minds are connected with, and we can communicate through it. But you have to believe it, just like you have to believe you can pick up the phone or email somebody. Mm-hmm. You have to think it's possible. And I'm saying you've got evidence that it's possible.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you said in one of your books that I read was you say that coincidences are often clues to mysteries that are hiding in plain sight. So explain what you mean by that.
Well, you can't go any further into the now than thinking of someone and they call you.
Yes.
That is a mystery hiding in plain sight. But there's another aspect of it as a detective and with the detective theme is so important in the coincidence business. You've got to see something and then somehow recognize that something is somehow useful to you. Us detectives have to do that. So I recommend the development of a coincidence alert button in your intuition, in your mind brain, that you develop by looking at lots of coincidences, reading them about them, experiencing them, talking with people about them, to have this alerting button in your head so that you don't have to think about it a lot. You have to say, oh, this is something I need to pay attention to, rather than should I pay attention to it. You learn to pay attention to it. And the more you elevate your consciousness in however ways you do it, meditation is one good one, psychedelics are another, that you expand your consciousness, but coincidences will expand your consciousness also. The more you do that, the more feedback you get from your environment, the more this button can pick up the information from outside of you that is useful to you.
Would you say that the energy that we're talking about now is on the same path or wavelength as an energy healer, especially like a distance energy healer, where I've known where there's been people who the energy healer has called into someone who is a past client and said, I'm very concerned with you. I think that you're having this particular problem. And they did, you know, so is there anything similar to the energies that we're using, and are they just on another plane? I'm curious.
We all have that capacity to varying degrees. And that simulpathy, what you just described, you know, therapists calling their patients or dreaming of a patient who's about to commit suicide or contacting a patient, fearing the patient's commit suicide, the same thing as simulpathy with my father. There is a communication. You ask about energy. Now, I just happen to really like the energy, and there's a really difficult question about feeling empathic with somebody who's in the same space you are, and then feeling that person's feelings in a space that where they're far away from you. So I've been trying to figure that one out, and I think we communicate with each other through this mental atmosphere, this psychosphere. That if you're connected, which therapists and healers are with their patients, they're connected. Sometimes it's problematic. You pick up too much. But through the psychosphere, through this mental atmosphere, this mental internet, they communicate with each other. There's energy, there's information in the psychosphere, and they connect through it.
Wow. And I just glanced at the clock. I wish that we had more time. I love this. Do you have another book coming out? What do you have going on? Do you have any speaking engagements? Anything that we can share?
On my podcast, I've been on like 60 podcasts as a guest with other people. And I don't know, you just put my name and Bernard Beitman in there, you're going to come up with a bunch of stuff. The Psychology Today, there's a bunch of posts in there that might be interesting to some of the people. But I think for those who want to be actively involved, the Coincidence Cafe is the right place to come.
As well as the book. And if I recall, it's available wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or your local bookstore. And I want to always say that because I think in this day and age, if we can keep those local bookstores going, go in. If they don't happen to have it, they can order it. And in this day and age, they can have it to you real quickly.
Thank you, Alan. I like to say that each time. Go to the brick and mortar bookstore in your town.
Absolutely. Bernie, I had to tell you, this is so much fun. I would love to do it again soon. And just keep on doing what you're doing. I think that, we're at a time in our society or whatever, where there is so much more to learn. And we just have to be open to it. So I'm really glad that you're helping a lot of people get to that point.
And let me add to that, Alan, where I got to end, that synchronicity can aid humanity in facing its current crisis of self-suicide and destroying our planet. I've got a beginning of a plan to just figure out how to do that.
I would love to talk to you more about that as well.
All right.
So again, Bernie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much. You really were listening wonderfully. Thank you.
All right. And for everybody out there, please be with us next week when we're joined by Edward Tick, PhD, as he's going to share his new book, Soul Medicine, Healing Through Dreams, Visions, and Pilgrimages. So if you like this one, we have something that's going to be kind of along the same lines. And please visit our archives of past interviews at Answers Network, or just go and subscribe through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many others. And the show will be sent to you automatically every week. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know it's greatly appreciated. The next time you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please remember stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, remember to be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.